Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're learning how to deal with fear and anxiety as a Christian. The message is called Be Anxious for Nothing, so let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, as we go back to basics.
Jesus said there, you remember, take no thought for your life. And the idea there is take no anxious thought for your life. Don't be anxious about these things. Now, of course, we all have to think about the future. We have to plan for the future to some degree and so forth. And that's fine. And that's acceptable. But it's when we become anxious about it. As we're looking at the current economic situation, as we're looking at the change in the political atmosphere in the country, as we're seeing a lot of different things happening, there can be this feeling of anxiousness. Oh, but what are we going to do about this? And what happens if that goes in that direction there? And what if things don't work out the way we thought? These are the kinds of things that Jesus is saying not to engage in. Take no anxious thought for your life. In Psalm 37, we are told not to fret. And we're told not to fret because it only causes harm. Fretting causes harm. The number one contributor to ailments today, physical ailments, is stress. It seems like more people today are receiving a stress diagnosis than ever before. All kinds of weird symptoms and things going on. You go to the doctor and he checks you out and, you know, runs a bunch of tests and everything, comes back and says, you're stressed. That's the diagnosis. And that's right. That's what's happening. And that's what the scripture says. Don't fret because it causes harm. It causes bodily harm to us. You might say, oh, but you don't understand my situation. My situation warrants anxiety. I have a justifiable cause for worry. It says, be anxious for nothing. You know, there's no exceptions to this. It doesn't say, you know, that there are a few things that are understandably things that will cause this. And under these particular circumstances, this is allowable. No, God says, regardless of whatever it is, he says, be anxious for nothing. Now, I don't know necessarily or understand all that others are going through. I know some of the things that I'm going through. I know the difficulties and the challenges there. But the thing that we have to remember is that God knows. He knows all things. He knows what we're going through. And with his perfect knowledge of all things, he says to us, do not worry. So this is the first thing in the prescription, to be anxiety free. First thing, we are not to be anxious, but then what are we to do? Well, he lays it out for us here, beginning in verse 4 with rejoice in the Lord. So here's the options. I can look at the situation that I'm in. I can start thinking about where things might go. I can be filled with anxiety and fear, or I can stop going down that road and I can just begin to rejoice in the Lord. You see, the wonderful thing about the Lord is that he never changes. He's always the same. We sang this morning, "Great is thy faithfulness." And God is faithful. He's always been faithful. He's proven himself faithful all throughout history for those who trust in him. And I love the passage in Isaiah that declares, "They that wait upon the Lord shall never be put to shame." Or another translation is, "They that wait upon the Lord shall never be disappointed." I love that. We'll never be disappointed waiting on the Lord because the Lord is faithful. And he's the same. So rather than be filled with anxiety, rather than be filled with worry, I'm really to be filled with praise. I'm to just start rejoicing in the Lord. Knowing that there's no circumstance he's not aware of. There's no circumstance he's not able to overcome. Knowing that he loves me. Knowing that he has a plan for my life. And knowing that even though I can't really understand why I'm going through what I'm going through, that God is using these things to do something good in me. So we are to, first of all, rejoice in the Lord. Secondly, he says that we are to pray. With prayer and supplication. The difference between prayer and supplication is really, in a sense, sort of one of intensity. Prayer is calling out to the Lord. Supplication is crying out to the Lord. And this is how we overcome anxiety. This is how we overcome worry. We need to cry out to the Lord. As the Lord said through Jeremiah, "Cry to me and I will answer you." And we need to cry out to him. And sometimes we need to cry out to him 100 times a day. You know, sometimes we say, "Well, I cried out to him and nothing changed." Keep crying. You remember your little children? When they would cry out to you, for the first 20 minutes, you wouldn't pay any attention. And then finally you go, "Okay, what do you want now?" Now, of course, the Lord's not like that, but he wants us to cry out to him. He tells us to cry out to him. So rather than being anxious, rather than worrying, we are to bring these things to the Lord in prayer. We are to cast our cares upon him, knowing that he cares for us. He wants us to come with these things, and he wants us to pour these things out before him. He invites us to do that. He tells us to do that. So with prayer, supplication, and then with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Now, how do we add thanksgiving when it comes to these kinds of things? When we think about the difficulties, the struggles, the crisis that we're in, or something that we can see coming down the road, how can I be thankful? Well, I can only be thankful if I understand that these kinds of things are being used by God to do a greater work in my life. Now, I've said this before, and I think most of you agree with me. I am no fan of trials. I would prefer to just live a trial-free life. I feel that I could get along quite well with no problems. But evidently, God sees things differently than I do, because he quite often allows trials to come into my life. And sometimes I will look at something and I will think, you know, this shouldn't be happening. This shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be going through this. You know, for me, there's nothing worse than a problem that you have to solve that should have never existed in the first place. You know, it's sort of like a self-inflicted wound. Or, you know, it's a problem that you bring on yourself, and you know, those to me are the worst kinds of problems. Whenever I'm dealing with a problem that I've brought on myself, I'm always so frustrated in dealing with it because I'm thinking, why am I doing this? If I wouldn't have done that other stupid thing, I wouldn't be having to do this thing right now that I'm not enjoying doing. Years and years ago, Cheryl asked me to hang a lamp on the wall in our house. And I said, sure. So I got out my drill and I went over to a portion of the wall where she wanted the lamp, and I began to drill into the wall. And as I was drilling, you know, I could sense that I was hitting something there, but I thought, well, you know, this drill bit strong, I'm going to just push my way through it. So I did. I pushed my way through it. I backed off the drill, pulled it out, and suddenly water was spraying in my face and all over the living room, and I had hit the main water pipe into the house. And so I've got my thumb over the wall, and I'm trying to keep the water from coming out, and I'm saying to Cheryl, go out and turn off the water, and I don't know how to turn off the water, and it was just a disaster. And it happened to be a holiday, so there were no plumbers available. And so I decided, okay, I can fix this. I did some plumbing, and as I cut into the wall and pulled out a piece of the drywall, I found that there was this new pipe that they were using. It wasn't copper pipe, which I thought would be fairly easy to fix. It was this plastic stuff called polybutylene. And so it just became this project that lasted about 8 hours trying to get it patched up enough just to get the water back on. That's one of those self-inflicted things that I'm talking about. And that whole afternoon, I just kicked myself over and over again, because to me, that was something that should not have happened. And sometimes I look at certain trials and I feel the same way about them. I shouldn't be going through this. And sometimes there are things that I bring upon myself, but sometimes it's out of my control. Somebody else does something that's foolish or stupid, and then, we're suffering the consequences of it. But as I was thinking about that, even this week, going through some challenging times and thinking, why are we going through this? This doesn't feel good. I don't enjoy this. And, if this person wouldn't have done that, we wouldn't be in this particular situation right now. And I'm sort of looking at this as, this is a big mistake. This is something that shouldn't be happening. But then I suddenly had the thought. I was reminded of a verse in 1 Peter, where Peter is talking about what we have coming in the future. We have this inheritance that is incorruptible, it's undefiled, it's reserved in heaven for us who are kept by the power of God through faith. He says, and we rejoice in that, even though now presently, and then he says this, if need be, we are grieved through manifold testings. And that little phrase, if need be, struck me. And the Lord reminded me of that. And the Lord seemed to be saying, Brian, you don't understand this. You don't like this. This isn't pleasant. I understand that. But you need to go through these things. So when I understand that I actually need to go through these things, that enables me to be thankful. That enables me to say, okay, Lord, thank you for this, because you are taking this situation and you're doing something in me that I can't really see needs to be done, but obviously you know it needs to be done, and so you're perfecting your work in me. That's the way that we can be thankful when we go through these things. And then he says, let your request or your concern be made known to God. That's the last step. You just take that issue, you take that problem, you take that situation, and you let that be known to God in prayer, through supplication, crying out to him, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I turn this thing over to you. Lord, I'm giving you this problem. And like I said, sometimes we have got to do that over and over and over again, because you know what we tend to do, right? You do it, I do it, I give the Lord the problem, and 5 minutes later, I've got it back. Isn't it true? I give him the problem, I turn it all over to him, and then 5 minutes later, I find that I'm trying to figure it out again. What about this, and what if I do that? And then I got to stop. Wait a second. No, I gave this to the Lord. It's not my problem. That's what the apostle is telling us to do. And so we're not to be anxious. We are to rejoice in the Lord. We're to pray with thanksgiving. We're to leave our request with him. And here's what God will do. God will take that problem that we give to him, and in exchange for that fear, that worry, that anxiety, he is going to give us his peace. He will give us his peace. Now, Paul refers to the peace of God here in an interesting way. He refers to it as a peace that passes understanding. I have found this. The more I try to understand the problem, the more depressed and anxious I get. If I'm going to receive that peace of God, there's a certain point where I just have to let go. I just have to say, I don't understand this. I don't understand how it's going to work out. But you know, when you look in the scripture and you see how God worked on behalf of his people, most of the time God did things that nobody ever would have figured out, nobody ever would have imagined, nobody would have ever dreamed that God would have done it the way he did it. So as we sit there trying to figure it out, trying to understand, well, okay, now how could God sort this out? Well, if he did this, and then that happened, and you know, and then we work ourselves up again, and we find ourselves right back in the same place. That's trying to obtain God's peace through understanding. But there's some of the things we can never understand. So we have to allow his peace to just come upon us and leave the understanding part to him. You see, that's the key. That's the faith key. Lord, I don't understand. I don't get it. I can't figure out for the life of me how you're going to sort this out. But I believe that you will. Because you're God. Because you're my Father. Because you love me. Because you have a good plan for my life. Because you said that all things are working together for good to those who love you. And so God will give us the peace. And that peace will keep, or literally the word for keep there is guard, your heart and mind. You see, what the enemy wants to do is he wants to attack us in our heart. He wants to attack us in our mind. He wants to get us filled with anxiety. He wants to get us worried about everything. He wants us to be in a state of depression, because if we're in a place like that, then we're basically ineffective for the kingdom. I can't do anything for the Lord. I'm too worried about everything. So I just have to sit and fret. But you see, I need a guard. I need a garrison around my heart and mind. And that's what God's peace does. It comes in and it guards me from those things. And you know, you will find, as I have found, the Lord is faithful. He comes and he brings those words of encouragement. Call to him and he will answer you. And there are those times, and even recently for myself, as I've called out to the Lord, he's come and he's given those promises. And, you know, we have to lay hold of those promises by faith. In the last few weeks, the Lord has said different things to me that are promises. He said, be still and know that I am God. And I receive that word and I say, okay, that's a word from the Lord. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm just to be still and to know that he is God, to wait for him, to watch him work. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Don't be afraid. And that's what I do. I stand on that promise. A friend of mine just randomly, it seemed, sent me a text message. I haven't had a whole lot of contact or conversation with him in quite a while. I don't know that I've ever received even a text message from him. And I get a text message and there's a word of encouragement. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Out of nowhere, he doesn't know anything that I'm going through. He doesn't know any of the struggles, the difficulties, the challenges that are going on in my life. And I receive this word, and I think, that's the Lord. That's what the Lord's telling me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I wrote him back real quickly and said, thanks for that reminder. I'd forgotten. A few days later, he sends me another one. He makes all things beautiful in his time. And all of these words are words that are relevant to the particular struggle, difficulty, situation that we find ourselves in, and God will do that. You see, he's faithful. He brings us those. But what we've got to do is we've got to lay hold of it. You see, I have got to turn everything over to the Lord in faith, believing that he is going to do the right thing, and that's where the peace comes in. The peace comes in being able to trust God, that God is for me, not against me, and that God is going to work this situation out. And so God gives us his peace. That peace guards our heart and mind. And then this frees us up. You see, this sets me free then to meditate on and to concern myself with the things that matter. Jesus made it clear that worrying is a colossal waste of time. He said, you can't change anything by worrying. And I love that last verse there, the 34th verse in chapter 6 that we read of Matthew, where he tells us, Take no thought for tomorrow. And what are we always worried about? I'm always worried about tomorrow. Well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And what if they do this? And what if they don't do that? And I'm always looking to the future. Jesus said, don't do that. Why? He said, there's enough trouble today. You don't need to worry about tomorrow. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. But the reality is God's with us today. And you know, he wants us really to take one day at a time. One day at a time. And sometimes the Lord brings us to that kind of pace in life. You know, we're used to planning ahead. I want to know what's going to happen next week, next month. I want to know what's going to happen next year. I want to know where I'm going to be in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And you know, sometimes the Lord brings us to everything to a halt. And he says, you know, we're going to go one day at a time. And sometimes he even says, you know, we're going to go 1 hour at a time. And God, through all of that, is bringing us to a greater place of dependency on him. So what we then become free to do is meditate on and concern ourselves with the things that matter. Rather than wasting time worrying, we can put that energy toward being built up in the faith and useful for the cause of God's kingdom. Now, here's an interesting statistic that I think you might find encouraging. 92% of the things people worry about never happen. So you can leave here today with 92% of the things that you've been worried about. Just throw them off because they're never going to happen anyway. But maybe you're saying, but what about that 8%, you know? Well, the 8% are things generally that we don't have any control over anyway. But God has control. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of that word from Jesus there in Matthew 6. Take no anxious thought for your life. What is he saying through all of that? Look at the birds, look at the flowers, all of this stuff. He's saying God takes care of all of this. Isn't he going to take care of you, oh you of little faith? And look, this stuff wasn't just written for the people in biblical times. This stuff was written for us today in the age of anxiety. God wants to free us from that anxiety so we can concentrate on the things that matter. What are the things that matter? Well, we read it there in verse 8, the things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good, virtuous, praiseworthy. So we can be focusing in on and putting our energy and our attention toward productive things for the kingdom. You see, what the enemy wants to do in a sense is he just wants to knock us out. He wants to sort of knock us out of the race by just getting us all weighed down with all of these burdens, all of these anxieties and worries and fears. And like I've already said, and like you know, there's plenty of stuff around us to lend itself to that. But we, unlike the Gentiles, we have a Heavenly Father who knows what we need. And so we can rest in that, and we are to do what Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all of these other things, these things that we tend to worry about, fret over, all of these things, God will take care of them. That's God's prescription for anxiety.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from our study through the Scriptures, but if you missed any part of this study, or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Be Anxious for Nothing, and the resource number is OBB482. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together.
Our hope, our strong belief.
Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.